From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions. Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Ich warte seit Wochen auf diesen Tag und tanz vor Freude über den Asphalt, als wär's ein Rhythmus, als gäb's ein Lied, das mich immer weiter durch die Straßen zieht. Komm dir entgegen.
Hello and welcome to Gegenpressing, the German football podcast from the Football Grad Network. I'm your host, Bryce Dunn. And, well, they've done it. That's right, Bayern Munich have won the Champions League. They are the champions of Europe for the 6th time. Fantastic news. And joining me to discuss the game and so much more, as always, Manu Vett. Manu, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, Bryce. I'm really... I don't want to say enjoyed this game because it was very nervy, but I think it's capped off a very nice weekend and a very nice week of, or I guess 2 weeks of European football. So yeah, really good. Can't believe we're doing this podcast and we'll be back into Bundesliga action in like 2 weeks. So yeah, very short break this year between the two competitions. So yeah, lots to discuss, lots to look forward to. So yeah, really good, Bryce. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. Couldn't agree more. The game was, tense, wasn't it? Definitely a few hearts in the mouth moments, I think. And yeah, after this, we're going to be back at it before we even know it. But joining Manu and myself, as always, Chris Williams. Chris, how are you?
I'm very good, Bryce, thank you. I got to watch the Champions League final as a neutral, a new experience after the last 2 years. But yeah, fantastic. Match, I thought it was low scoring, obviously just the one goal, but I thought it was a really good final, balanced on the knife edge the whole way. I mean, I don't have really any allegiance to Bayern, apart from they play in the Bundesliga and I cover them and I wanted to see them win, but even I was getting nervous towards the end. Like, I was actually watching my own side play. I was getting that nervous, I could feel my heart going. So yeah, I bought into it and it was really good to see football win out in the end.
Yeah, that's it. So, I couldn't agree with you guys more. It was tense. It was nervy. But it was a very enjoyable game, I think, for the neutrals as well. Well, I suppose we might as well get to it and discuss the game.
Just made contact with Ozil. That's better from Thiago.
Much better. Penetrating pass. Finding Kimmich. Finding Gnabry. Laid off by Muller. Kimmich again. Chance at the far post and the header is in by Kingsley Coman. Breakthrough for Bayern Munich and the goal scorer is a Parisian.
And that was it. That was the goal on the 59th minute. Kingsley Coman at the back post from a cross, an exquisite cross, might I say, from Joshua Kimmich that won the game 1-0 to Bayern Munich. Manu, let's discuss this game. I mean, where exactly does this rank in Bayern's history? I mean, another treble. They've won it the first time since 2012-2013 season, which, when you say it like that, it wasn't very long ago, really, was it? Their sixth title, and what a side they've been.
There's a lot of records. First team in the Champions League history to win every single game in the competition. They are now That was their 11th Champions League final. Only Real Madrid has been in the final more often. They are only the second team in Europe to win the treble consisting out of the Champions League, a national championship, and the National Cup, right? Barcelona being the other team that has done it before. Yeah, that is incredible. I think what this team has put together, I think, is also the most goals scored since Barcelona have scored 45, Bayern have scored 42, but Bayern actually have done it in less games, right? Because we didn't have return games. There's a lot of good things that happened to this Bayern side. And I think the most remarkable thing about this, before we even get into this game, is the fact that I remember being at the Commerzbank Arena in November, where they got absolutely smashed by Eintracht Frankfurt 5-1. And I think no one in the world would have thought that less than a year later, or within the same season, they would put together the most remarkable run in their club's history and win a treble. I think people would have probably put me in an institute if I had suggested that at the time. And here we are. Now, as for the game, I thought it was actually a very good Bayern performance. The first 10, 15 minutes were more dominant than they were against Barcelona and Olympique Lyon, where they, you know, again, yes, they scored against Barcelona within 7 minutes, but there were a lot of mistakes still in the back. Bayern did do a lot better job defensively. I mean, they managed to get this game over the line with a clean sheet. By the way, Manuel Neuer is now, I think, the only goalkeeper who has won the World Cup final with a clean sheet and a Champions League final with a clean sheet. So, like, defensively, even though it was nervy, this was actually a very good Bayern performance. And I think when you read the articles that came out before the game by many of the analysts, they all said that this is going to be a lot of goals, very free-flowing. Bayern Munich don't know how to defend. Their defensive line is very high. They are going to, Mbappe and Neymar are going to get behind them a lot. They did twice, but which happens in big finals, but they didn't really, really have that big of an impact in this game. And I think that really kind of put the entire storyline that we had of the match a little bit on its head, because Bayern were, and I know when you watch a game, it always seems nervy because, you know, a one goal lead isn't quite that much. But when you actually rewatch it, you actually realize that they were very much in control of this game, as much as you can be in control of a game when it's a Champions League final on that level. Really curious what you think, Chris, in this regard, because that's, you know, I didn't feel like that during the game, but rewatching it afterwards, you certainly got the sense of that.
Yeah, I thought Bayern controlled the game well. I think they were lucky in some aspects that Mbappe couldn't finish. I think he had a glorious opportunity first half to make it 1-0, of course. Lewandowski hits a post as well in an early start. You could say PSG were a little lucky there as well. But yeah, PSG did get behind them a couple of times, but I think their finishing let them down. Had they scored, I wouldn't have been particularly worried, because I think this Bayern side would have been able to come back from that. Counter that with, you know, the work ethic of Neymar and Mbappe when it was 0-0. I thought it was really high, tracking back. A lot of criticism given to Neymar. He doesn't work hard for his side, doesn't really buy into what Thomas Tuchel wants to do. I thought in this final, especially, he really bought into that. But once that goal went in from Kingsley Coman, I think all the PSG players, their heads dropped. And I think that changed the match. You know, obviously, it's a very important part, a goal in a game. But sometimes it can kick a team into life, and sometimes it can kick a team in the nuts. And I think this particular occasion, it kicked PSG in the nuts. But on the whole, Bayern definitely controlled the game. I thought Goretzka was not too bad, actually. I thought he stunk the first half out a little bit, but then grew into the game after that. I thought Thiago was immense. The centre three behind Lewandowski were excellent. Gnabry, Coman and Muller. I was a little surprised when Kingsley Coman came off and Serge Gnabry, but I can understand it, freshen it up those last 10 minutes or so. I was really impressed, because, yeah, you're quite right. People did say that Bayern would have a high line, and maybe not that they couldn't defend, just that they might struggle to defend with the speed of Mbappe and Di Maria and Neymar. And I think at times they did struggle a little. I know Alphonso Davies is only young. I thought he looked exceptionally nervous at times, picked up an early harsh yellow card, but then looked a little nervy. And I think we can expect that because it obviously means a lot to him and he is so young. But I think everybody around him helped him. I thought Koeman helped him on that side. Goretzka helped him when he came over, transitioned over. Alaba, of course. Yeah, it was a good performance by Bayern and a little bit of a plan B as well that I saw coming up where they don't have to go for the throat. They can sit back a little. They can take their time and it doesn't have to be 100 mile an hour every single time. They're quite happy to recycle play. And in the UK, there was some of the commentary on the game was that they were surprised that Bayern went backwards. Well, I wasn't really. You know, Bayern are very good at recycling play. If it's not on in the last third of the pitch, play all the way back to Neuer and look at going at the other side again. It was no surprise for me. I thought they controlled the game well. And when you look at the, I know possession stats do little, really, because you can win a game on 15% possession stats. But the possession stats in this particular game showed how much control Bayern had. On another day, this game could have been 3-2. But as it was, I thought it was a little nervy towards the end. But I think once it got past that tremendous Neuer save, I think Mbappe was offside anyway. It got past that beautiful save that he made. And then Choupo-Moting really missed what was quite an easy finish in the end. I pretty much knew the engraver could get Bayern's name on a trophy. It was their night.
It's interesting what you say about Davies, because you're quite right. I think he was nervous in the beginning too, but he played the first half against Angel de Maria, who I just saw this statistic goes through my Twitter feed. This was the lowest who scored rating he had for the entire season. Di Maria was pretty much taken out of the game. Now, how much that was Davies is doing, or if that's just a coincidence that they were on the same side, maybe the analysts can take a look at this. But then in the second half, he played against Mbappe. And Mbappe didn't exist in the second half. So, nervous, but still got the job done as a 19-year-old. That's impressive, I would say.
Extremely impressive. I think he's had a fantastic year, hasn't he? And we will touch on Davies a little bit further into the podcast. But let's just talk about the game and where it exactly ranks, I suppose. Chris, I mentioned earlier that the last time that they won the Champions League was against Dortmund. That was 2012-2013. Some people comparing that Bayern side to this Bayern side. Where exactly do you say that this game maybe ranks in their history, but also, if you look at the two sides, can we possibly compare? I know that team was very good. They won the league by, a significant amount of points. But when you look at where Bayern have come from this season, and as Manu said, it was a pretty low time at the beginning of the season, right up till about November, and it's a hell of a transformation.
Yeah, it is a transformation. I mean, if you want to compare them to the side that beat Dortmund, I would say that this is probably on a similar level just because where they've come from. Obviously, the names maybe aren't as big, but I think there's some emerging names that will be just as big. But yeah, I mean, this is a team that, Manu said, were absolutely thrashed by Eintracht Frankfurt. And then Flick comes in and guides them to a couple of good games against Dortmund and Fortuna. But then the wheels did come off a little bit. But then after December the 7th, when they were beaten 2-1 by Gladbach, they never lost a game again. And we're in August. And I know we had a little bit of a break, but that is still a tremendous achievement. They only drew one game after that. And that was a game against Leipzig that Manu and I watched in a bar in Hamburg. But outside of that, they pretty much blitzed past everybody. You look at their record in the Pokal. It was very, very good, very professional as well, especially if you look at the final. The games after that, round of 16, the quarters and the semis, I think were very professional. Hoffenheim took them to the limit. The Champions League after December was just unbelievable. There was that game against Spurs, obviously, and then there was the two games against Chelsea and Barcelona, Olympic Lyon, and obviously the final. But there were some really good results in the Bundesliga as well, some 6-0, some 5-0, a couple of 4s, a 4-2, last day was 4-0. They just went on a sensational run. And where will the final rank? Normally, finals are pretty trash, to be honest. They're a nervy affair. And I think this one was quite a good final. Outside of that, one of the best finals I can remember was actually the final in Berlin itself, in the Olympiastadion, where Barcelona beat Juventus 3-1. I think that was probably the last really top-level final. I know Real Madrid beat Liverpool by a similar scoreline, but I think there was a couple of errors in that game. It wasn't the best final. One last season certainly wasn't the best final to watch if you're a neutral. But yeah, I think it's a good final. It's all about winning the trophy. I don't think anybody remembers if you've had a good season if you fall at the last. I mean, PSG have had a really good season. You know, they've won everything, and they were after a treble themselves, but they will be remembered as not winning the Champions League. And I think maybe this Bayern side would have been remembered for that as well. For, yeah, they had a good season, but they didn't win a Champions League. And now they've done that. And it is a historic treble, as Manu said. But ranking in the best European finals of all time, I think if you want to look at it tactically, I think it was a really good showing by both coaches, to be honest. And they both got their teams very disciplined and played well. And it came down to one crucial movement in the end. But I think the team that beat Dortmund was a very successful side, which then obviously added to that with a couple of players afterwards. I think this particular Bayern side is a good side, but it's tempered with experience with the likes of Lewandowski and Müller and Boateng and Neuer. But there's also that youth element, Davies and Koeman and Serge Gnabry. And, you know, there's some players on the bench that never got a look in but will be there or thereabouts next season. Add in Leroy Sané to this side as well. It's Bayern have got a really good future, which is pretty daunting for the Bundesliga, because it was only, you know, 6-7 months ago we were talking about is this Bayern side, is that it? Is that it for this Bayern side? Of course, they were knocked out the round of 16 last season. They limped to a double, if you can limp to a double. I think they did limp to a double. And they weren't particularly good at the start of the season. And we were all saying, yep, this is it now. There's a new wave of clubs coming in. Leipzig, Dortmund are rebuilding. But they've blown that all away. And the way they've played in the last few weeks when football came back, I wouldn't be surprised to go on and see them win 10 Bundesliga titles in a row, which is not going to be great for people who are listening and who are fans of Frankfurt. I know we've got a lot of Frankfurt fans in the States, a lot of Dortmund fans as well. I know we do have a lot of Bayern fans who listen to this. But for the rest of the league, it's not good. It's not good listening. And unfortunately, that's just the way football is sometimes. And it's going to take a hell of a title challenge from somebody to stop them. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch this season coming when it all kicks off. Because this Bayern side, you know, they're on such a fantastic run of form. It does have to stop at some point. I don't think any team can go on, you know, win, I think it's 21 games on the run and then go and win, you know, another 34 and maybe 4 or 5 in the Pokal and maybe 6 or 7 again in the Champions League. It does have to come to a stop. And it's how the teams around them deal with that stop, because unfortunately Leipzig and Dortmund both stuttered when Bayern had a problem. So I really want to see that be taken advantage of by the other clubs, that when that little plateau does happen or that little dip, the other clubs need to be there ready to push Bayern to the limit. Because I think if they're pushed, they respond in a way that maybe sometimes will get them a result, sometimes won't get them a result. And it'll be interesting watching for me.
Yeah, that's it. It's a fantastic achievement by Bayern, not just to win the treble, but there's so many stats that go along with it, isn't there? And one of them is that, as Manu said, that they've won every game on their way to their final. They've also got the highest goal score and the most amount of goals in the tournament. It really is a rather special Bayern side, and I can see why people are comparing them to that team.
Yeah, it feels really good. It feels like, you know, it's everything you dream of as a kid. You know, growing up in Edmonton, cold Edmonton, you know, coming to Europe and winning Champions League with a great club like mine is just everything you can ask for.
Come on!
Okay, well, that was Alphonso Davies, which we just heard from. He's had a fantastic tournament, as we touched on a little bit previously. Manu, it's just a really remarkable how good the Canadian has been this season. He's been one of the standout performers, hasn't he? And we've talked about him plenty on the podcast, but you know, there's just not enough good things that you can kind of say about him, is there? And yes, maybe he started a little bit nervous in this game, but the kid's 19. It is fantastic for him.
You know, wait until he's actually a finished product, right? Because he's definitely still a long way away from that. No, it's great. This is a really good thing, not just for Canadian soccer, but soccer on this continent, football on this continent. In the build-up of the 2026 World Cup, they have a player who plays at one of the best teams in the world, right now the best team in the world, right? Taking over the mantle from Liverpool, who were fantastic last year. I think this is an amazing thing for the sport in North America, because it's not just that he is extremely good at what he's doing at a very young age, but he also has a personality to go with it. Every interview he does, his TikTok videos are famous. His social media presence is second only to Lewandowski now, I believe, at Bayern. It's an incredible thing, and this will catapult the sport in Canada to another level, because Alphonso Davies is going to be the face of sports, not just soccer. It's going to be one of the faces of sports in this country. And that's a really great thing in many ways. As for his performance, yeah, as I said, I think he had his few wobbles, but then he also had the balls to head back that ball to Manuel Neuer in a really daunting situation. And I don't think you see that very often from any player at a Champions League final. So I think he still has his like moments where you see like, yeah, he has to learn, but he's learning so quick at the highest level, which I think you haven't really seen from many talents out there, let alone from a Canadian talent.
Yeah, he really is a talent. And Manny, you said, you know, you see a few moments of, you know, you just realize that, you know, he is the age he is. But I must say, they're pretty few and far between, aren't they? He really has been something spectacular. And, you know, we look forward to seeing him in, you're playing in the Bundesliga for many years, we hope, as we're doing this podcast, eh? So, Chris, I'm going to go to you for this one. I suppose if we're looking beyond Bayern, which is hard to do after such a performance and all the stats that we've read out, but RB Leipzig also reaching the semi-final competition. I mean, that was a fantastic achievement for them as well, wasn't it? It was a good semi-final for German coaches, but also German clubs.
I think Leipzig getting to the semi-final was a tremendous achievement. And they maybe wobbled a little bit in the end, but that's only natural because of the lack of experience. But the way that they dispatched Atletico Madrid, for me, showed that they have really got a chance next season of going a little bit further than they did this season domestically. So there was times last season where they dropped points they should never have done. And, you know, they drew a lot without looking at the stats off the top of my head. I think it was 12 draws. That's not good enough to sustain a title fight. And in that game we saw them against Atletico Madrid, they were able to, you know, turn a situation that I think if it was in the Bundesliga they would have dropped points into a winning situation. And that is really good for me to show that they can do that next season domestically. I think that will help them along and maybe make up a little bit of the shortfall that we saw occasionally from them. I think this result, or you know, how far they got in the competition, will really give them strength mentally to go on next season in a competition and also take that next step. They've obviously got to a cup final domestically, lost out, got to a semi-final, lost out. They've come second in the league before, they come third in the league. It's going to be interesting to see how they build from that. But it looks like Julian Nagelsmann's building blocks are certainly working, and they managed to keep hold of some big players. Okay, they've lost Timo Werner, but it looks like they're going to get some sort of replacements for that coming in as well. Obviously, Huang's come in from Salzburg, but it looks like they're going to get someone to replace Schick, who could be, well, off anywhere, really. Leverkusen are interested. I think Gladbach were interested as well. Hertha Berlin were even interested. So he could end up staying in the Bundesliga, but they will need to replace him. but they've got some really good building blocks, and that's exciting to see. You know, if you're a Leipzig supporter or you're interested in Leipzig at all, they do have the ability there to grow that side, and I think that's what Julian Nagelsmann will take away from this season. I don't think it can be a disappointment for them because they are such a young side, you know, 11 years old in essence, and they're learning constantly. But I've seen a different side of them in this finals competition in Lisbon, which gives me hope for them going into the new season.
Yeah, indeed. I think it's good times for RB Leipzig, and I'm sure next season will be another exciting one for them and their fans. Manu, I suppose if we look even beyond the Champions League, let's talk the Europa League. How do you feel that the German side got on this year? I know when football returned, I think the three of us.
It wouldn't be the holiday season if there wasn't candy, right? Celebrate the holiday season with the Holiday Crush. They've sprinkled candy with a holiday theme and fun-packed challenges every week for 5 whole weeks, finishing on January 4th. The more challenges you complete, the better your chances of unwrapping delicious rewards. So, are you ready to crush the holidays? Play the Holiday Crush now. Download it from the App Store, Google Play, or Windows Store for free. Terms and conditions apply.
We're all feeling like Leverkusen could really, you know, push that and get to the final, you know, possibly get that Champions League spot, but it didn't really happen for them.
Yeah, you can't win the Europa League if Sevilla is still in it. It's just not possible. I think they should rename that trophy Sevilla Cup. No, but look, I really think that the Europa League is where German teams are underperforming. And it is a bit disappointing, really. I think, yeah, Leverkusen went out against a very strong Inter Milan side, and that final between Inter Milan and Sevilla could have gone the other way too, right? It was bicycle kick deflected by Lukaku in its own goal that decided that match, and could have, as I said, going the other way. So Inter Milan were a very good side. I think there's no shame for Leverkusen to go out against Inter, and it was a closely contested game. What bothers me is Wolfsburg going out against Shakhtar Donetsk. That's not necessary. And Wolfsburg are a team that have the same budget as Atletico Madrid. And look what Madrid do every year, right? You can say the same thing about other teams that play in the Europa League on a consistent basis. I mean, we had Frankfurt last year go to the semi-final, and they did represent Germany quite well. I thought, you know, it was essentially one free kick that prevented them from going to a final, which I think they would have won against Arsenal. But the Europa League is really where it is for me. Bundesliga teams need to take that more serious. I know that Bayer Leverkusen are a side that promised that they would take it more serious. It looked like they were going to take it more serious. I hope that next year the teams that have qualified, Wolfsburg are among them, are going to take this competition more serious, and that we're finally going to see someone win it from the Bundesliga, because I think it is a competition that is winnable and it is a route to the Champions League, right? Something that we can't forget. So my grade, I thought that the German teams in the Champions League have done really well. Even Dortmund were very close of actually going through to the next round. It could have easily been Dortmund in that final rather than PSG. You have to remember that. And I think that in the Champions League with Leipzig, Dortmund and Bayern, we will have three very good teams again next year. Bayern are probably going to be among the favorites to probably defend the title. Dortmund are going to go very deep in the Champions League, I'm pretty sure of it. And Leipzig are going to build on what they have. They need a number nine. So in the Champions League, I think we're fine. Gladbach is going to be a bit of a mixed bag, but you know, they might get relegated to the Europa League and go hopefully deep in that competition then. And I think that's really important. It's important for the standing of the Bundesliga that teams are taking the European competitions a bit more serious, because it does reflect the depth of the league a bit more. But overall, I think, what grade would I give? I would probably give it a C+. This year, last year was close to an F because of the Champions League performances. This year was a lot better, and I think the Bundesliga overall highlighted that the league is very strong. I think Bayern actually had an easier time winning the Champions League than the Bundesliga, and that says a lot about Bayern's strength, but also how they're being challenged in the Bundesliga. And I think there's going to be some questions about Bayern and what's going to happen with them next year. So we're going to be talking about that a bit more in depth, but I would say a C+. Curious, what do you think, Chris?
Yeah, it was the Europa League, unfortunately, that let German sides down. I know Bayer Leverkusen desperately wanted to win that competition, as you said. It was, in essence, a home tournament for them. Cologne's just down the road, as is Duisburg and Dusseldorf and Gelsenkirchen, where all the games were played. So it was a prime opportunity for them to maybe get that trophy that they're so desperately after. But yeah, outside of that, it was a poor show in the Europa League. And yeah, you're quite right with the clubs going the way they did, with two clubs in the last four. I don't think you can complain at that. It's going to be interesting for me to see how Wolfsburg and Hoffenheim get on next season. Wolfsburg should be able to rectify some of those problems. Hoffenheim, it's going to be very interesting to see how they get on. Leverkusen, again, I think they are very strong. I mean, they were obviously in the Champions League group stage last season. We were in, in the Bay Arena for the last game against Juventus. Both Manu and I were there, and you know, I thought they played quite well that night. And obviously, they were let down early on against Lokomotiv Moscow, I think it was, where they let themselves down on that first game. So they do have the talent and ability. It's just whether they can keep hold of Kai Havertz, which looks like a mission impossible at the moment. Chelsea seem very keen to take him off their hands, and that will be a big loss for me, for Leverkusen, because I think he's, not only he's a poster boy, he's pretty much key to the way they play. So if somebody does offer the right money, it'll be hard for them to replicate the same highs, I think. So, but what I think what we all understand is that Leverkusen have got exceptional recruiting. So, should they lose him, I don't think maybe they'll have a problem long term. It's just how they deal with it initially. But yeah, I mean, I'd probably go a little bit higher. I'd probably go for a B- myself, and that's because Bayern won it. Dortmund were put out by the eventual finalists, and as were Leipzig. So yeah, on the whole, a pretty decent European season.
Yeah, that's it. I don't think we can be too unhappy, can we? Just need to probably perfect that Europa League performances, really. But guys, probably some of the listeners are saying, yeah, I wanted more Bayern Munich. But that's what we've got our questions section for. So we've got three very good questions here that have been tweeted in. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Bayern. So let's start off with our first one. And I will go to... why don't we go to Chris for this one? So with Bayern having around 3 weeks before the Pokal on the 11th, 12th, and the first match on the 19th, does the short break help or hinder them with player management? That question comes in from Andrew.
Yeah, it's a really good question, Andrew. I would say at the moment it benefits them, but the schedule for next season is relentless. There's pretty much European games every week, and when there isn't a European or domestic game, there's an international game. So I think at the moment it won't hurt them, and it wouldn't surprise me to see Bayern carry on the same trajectory and build up quite a big lead. I will be interested to see how they cope round about January, when it's getting a little bit tight, back end of January, start of February, when they've been playing for a long time with minimal breaks. It will interest me to see how they cope with that. They do have the squad to be able to cope with that. I think you'll see more of the likes of Cousins, etc. But I don't think it will hinder them short term, but long term is anybody's guess. It will be very interesting for me to see how they deal with that late winter, early spring run in.
Well, I might as well go to Manu on this one as well. I mean, Manu, how do you feel they're going to get on? Would you feel that this is going to be a hindrance as well? I mean, players quite often talk about not having enough rest, and this will certainly be a year where, yes, there was a break before we returned to football, but this is a rather short-lived summer break for these players.
Yeah, I'm actually glad this question was brought up, because I thought I wanted to say this earlier when Chris was talking about the Champions League win, and I think it's a good answer for this one, and maybe even touches a little bit on the next question. So I'm going to hold back a little bit, but I think this is in a sense the same thing as when the national team plays and goes deep and wins a tournament. We didn't have that because the Euro was cancelled this year, but I think that Bayern are basically facing a situation similar to when Germany go deep into a tournament and the national team players return late. And that is something that they are quite good at. They used to be a national team slump. Whenever the national team had done very well at international tournaments, Bayern usually had a bad year the following year. But Hansi Flick, I think the way he manages the squad is very impressive. There is a couple of new players coming in. Tanguy Kouizi is one. Leroy Sané is another. I think they're going to will have to find a replacement for Thiago, but I think it's going to be there's going to be some players that are going to get managed. But it will be a tough task for them, and something that's maybe a little bit easier for the other teams and their competitors like Borussia Dortmund. So I don't want to take away too much away from the next question, Bryce, but it is going to be very difficult, as Chris said.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. Bayern, you know, as we said, will be returning to action in only 18 days' time, where they'll be facing in the Pokal FC Düren. Yeah, haven't heard of them. We'll probably do a little preview before that, I'm sure, you know, and we'll fill you in exactly who they are. But the next question is Mike from Victoria. And Chris, you talked a little bit about this previously, but Mike asked, with how powerful Bayern are right now, with some small issues to work out seen during the Champions League final, does the likes of Dortmund, Leipzig, Gladbach, Leverkusen even have a chance to derail the Bavarians from achieving their ninth straight Bundesliga title?
Yeah, another good question. Bundesliga, I'm not so sure on. I think we might have a different winner of the Pokal, purely because, you know, what we said previous, the small amount of rest or the short amount of rest they've got, the intensity of the games coming back midweek, weekends, the intensity of being able to defend your Champions League, the intensity of being able to defend your title. I think if any one of the three would slip, it would be the Pokal. And I don't mean that because they will take it less serious. I just think there's more root for a shock there. I think somebody, I mean, the amount of times they just about got past the side. I mean, Heidenheim not so long ago, Hoffenheim last season. You know, there was occasions when they were taken right to the wire. Werder Bremen the season before that. There's just been a few instances in that competition where I think if one of the three has to go by the wayside, or if one of the three has to be supplemented by not particularly the first 11, it would be that. I don't mean he'll put a, I don't mean Flick will put a reserve side out, far from it. But if there's a Champions League game due, or there's a national side game due, or there's a crucial Bundesliga side game due, he will have to manage his squad, and some of the fringe players will get the chance, and that will give others they're drawn against an opportunity to maybe cause an upset. But Bundesliga, it's going to be hard. I mean, I said it earlier, Bayern will not win. I mean, I might be made to look really foolish here, but Bayern will not win 34 matches out of 34 next season. Not after the run they've just had. Not be trying to defend their Champions League. So when the slump does happen, if they lose two games or even three games, you know, we saw them lose two games last season on the bounce. Leipzig and Dortmund have to get 6 points out of six if Bayern are dropping 6 points. They have to get 9 points out of nine if Bayern are dropping nine. If Bayern draw a couple of games, they need to pick up 3 points where Bayern pick up 1 point. That's the only way. And unfortunately, last season, Dortmund were their own worst enemies at times, as were Leipzig. Gladbach ran out of steam eventually. Those sides are not going to have, they're pretty much going to have a perfect season. And it's going to be hard for Leipzig because they want to go deep in the Champions League. But if it comes to a situation where, you know, Bayern have struggled on a couple of games and they're within 1 point, or they're 1 point ahead, or, you know, they're even 2 points ahead, they're going to have to make the decision how they're going to approach the rest of the competitions. And similar for Dortmund as well. And if either of them two have got an eye on the title, if they get any clear daylight, for me, they may have to forego the other competitions they're in, which will be another difficult choice for them. But I can't see them. I know we're not even into the season yet. Just the way they've played, I can't see them not winning the title next season. And that's purely because of the way the others around them drop points when they shouldn't really have picked them up. If the teams around them can sort out their own issues, I think Bayern might have a job getting to that 9-in-a-run next season.
Yeah, this is... thanks, Mike, for asking this question. And this is what I kind of wanted to get into, Bryce. This is... I think this late season this year for Bayern, with just having finished the Champions League, could open the door just slightly for Dortmund if they get a good start. Because I could see Bayern, they're celebrating now. They've won the Champions League. They have completed a historic season. They're going to likely lose Thiago, so there will be some reshuffling. They are going to add players very late this year because, you know, Flick will want to have replacements, and the way things are going with the market, it's very, very difficult, right? Dortmund's team is set and done. They have been training in training camp for, I think, 2 weeks now. It's August 24th, FC Record. So exactly 2 weeks when they issued that ultimatum to Manchester United and said, like, we're not selling Jadon Sancho anymore, and it's gone quiet. I mean, this deal is off, which means they're going to keep Jadon Sancho. And Dortmund will have to come out flying. They will have to come out flying out of the gates, and they will have to pick up every single point they can right from the get-go and make use of Bayern maybe being a little bit off the beat at the start of the season because of the short time that they had, and maybe still trying to replace certain parts like Thiago fitting in Leroy Sané. You know, that is maybe that I can give the Bundesliga for maybe a new champion. And I think it's only the only hope is Dortmund. I think Leipzig are going to be busy replacing players next year. They're going to be a very strong side. But I don't think, for me, also because they're going deep into the Champions League, is the same factor. It's essentially only one game less than Bayern played, right? The only hope for a different champion in the Bundesliga next year is Dortmund. And I think it's also going to be Lucien Favre's last run as a head coach. And they have to make use of a potential Champions League winning slump that Bayern could face. So, that's my answer to this.
Yeah, I must say it's going to be rather difficult for any of those sides to compete with the Bayern side that we've seen this calendar year, isn't it? But you never know, fatigue might cause a little bit of an upset or at least make things a little bit more challenging for the champions. But final question of the day comes from Fritz, who, Chris, we've talked about Manuel Neuer previously and how good he is, but he asks, where does Neuer rank in all-time goalkeepers now that he's the only keeper to win two trebles and keep a clean sheet in both the World Cup and Champions League final, which Manu mentioned. He had a fantastic game, didn't he? And a player that maybe last year some people were almost writing off, but he's looked fantastic.
Yeah, since Hansi Flick's come in, he has looked at, you know, the Manuel Neuer that we all knew. I think under Niko Kovac, he was one of many who took a slump. I think he gave away a few unnecessary goals under Kovac. I think that comes from not being in a happy place. Now, you know, obviously he's taken himself to his happy place now, Hansi Flick's in, and he's pretty much won everything he can again. And where will he rank in all-time greats? I mean, he's up there with the likes of Oliver Kahn, etc., because of just what he's won, not domestically, but internationally and on a European scene as well. If I'm Alexander Nubel, I'm probably looking to go on loan immediately because the way he's playing at the moment, I can't see him getting these mythical, was it 12 or so games that he's going to be guaranteed. I literally can't see him getting them. It's going to be a real problem for him. But where does he rank? Yeah, I mean, he's one of the best in the world at the moment. I mean, it's always hard to say who's the best goalkeeper in the world because, you know, there are so many good keepers at the moment. Manuel Neuer is certainly up there with the likes of Oblak and Alisson. I don't think anyone's going to say he's not. And for me, he's as good as those others because he can use his feet and he can use his hands as well, and not just his feet, I mean, to play the ball with. If you look at some of the big saves he made yesterday, you know, he spreads himself so well. And some of those saves are with his feet, which you don't normally get from a goalkeeper. He's world class. And he is definitely, if you're talking about who's the best goalkeeper in the world, he's definitely up there. I mean, he's just won everything that he can win with his club. So that pretty much puts him on the top at the moment. He was, I don't think he was the best last year at all. I think that was Alisson, who's the best keeper in the world. But, you know, he's. I don't think Alisson's done anything wrong. I think Manuel Neuer has just come back to challenge him for that. And Oblak as well. I think, you know, you saw his performance at Anfield, which ultimately dumped the holders out at that time and got them to Lisbon. So, yeah, he's another keeper who deserves all the plaudits. But I think Manuel Neuer has pulled himself back from possible written off, not just by people in the media, but by people in his own club. I don't think they go after Alexander Nubel now if they knew what Manuel Neuer was going to get back to, the levels he was going to get back to. So it's going to be very disappointing for Nubel, I think, as just mentioned. But all-time keepers, yeah, I mean, he's up there for me. One of the best all-time German keepers. I think we'll only know how good he truly is, like any player, once they retire. Because everybody's quite nostalgic and they go, oh, yeah, but, you know, remember Oliver Kahn was really good and he did this. Or, you know, you can mention all keepers that have retired. But it's only when they finished and you look back and you go, actually, there's a Manuel Neuer-sized hole in that goal now. And that's how good he was. And only time will tell. But, yeah, I mean, he doesn't look like he's going anywhere. Most goalkeepers can go until they're 35, 36 if they look after themselves. And, you know, he looks as good as he did when he was at Schalke and Bayern took him off their hands. So it's going to be a real difficult one for any keeper to challenge him to be the best in the world at the minute.
Yeah, I think he is the best. It just is. I think the reason why he is the best for me, Bryce, is because there was so much talk about how high Bayern play. And if that is any other goalkeeper, no matter how good or better, you know, there is keepers that have better statistics than Neuer, but no other keeper in the world would allow them to play like that. And it was the same for them in the World Cup final for Germany. No other keeper in the world would have allowed to play them like that. And coincidentally, Flick was the assistant coach, and probably, as we now see, and I think this is come quite evident, was probably more in charge of Germany winning the World Cup than maybe people give him credit for. But Chris is quite right. He has put so many players into the happy place, including Manuel Neuer. And Manuel Neuer has basically been as good as he's ever been, which has allowed Bayern to play with this extremely high defensive line. And this extremely high defensive line that has led to two most historical results we've probably ever seen in world football, that 8-2 against Barcelona, which in my opinion ranks exactly the same level as that 7-1 against Brazil, where he was also in goal, right? And I think that is, goalkeepers are so difficult to statistically quantify, because we only look at shot stopping, we're only looking at the big chances that they avoid, and, you know, domination in the box. But he is so much more than that. He's essentially an extra field player. And there's other players, that other goalkeepers that are similar to it, but no one plays it as well and as dominant as he does. And that is, in my opinion, I don't see anyone out there who can do it. I see glimpses of other keepers sometimes doing something similar, but not at this level for this long with that many trophies. And I think that's, for now, he's in my opinion, the number one. And it's going to be very difficult for all these other goalkeepers out there to challenge him. And yeah, it's kind of terrible to be an Alexander Nübel right now. That transfer, that decision seems like a terrible decision at the moment. And yeah, I think it's 15 games, Chris. I just can't see it.
Yeah, not a good time to be behind a goalkeeper in such form, eh? And what a player and what a performance in that Champions League final. So, Chris, that more or less does it for the podcast. But what are you going to do for the next 10 days when there's no German football? I mean, how will you cope?
I'll cope. I'll just take a break.
Well, that's it. It's those 10 long old days. Manu, what are you going to get up to? I suppose there's nothing else to do, really.
No, I guess I just enjoy having it as a little bit of a slower time. No, I'm kidding. There's transfers. I work for Transfermarkt, right? So busy, but a lot gets not dictated by match schedules, which is going to be nice.
Yeah, well, as I said, that more or less does it for the podcast for this season. But as we mentioned to you, we're going to be back rather soon, just a few weeks' time. We will do a preview podcast for the new season coming up, and you'll blink and the new season will be upon us. Thank you for tuning in once again. We appreciate you listening this season, and yeah, bring on the new season. I've been your host, Bryce Dunn, and auf Wiedersehen.
Let's be real. Dealing with tangled cords can make it harder to do your hair. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. Get the curls and waves you want, anytime, anywhere. It's designed to let you experience the power and freedom of beauty in motion. No cords to hold you back. You get your curls and waves your way. Unplug and be unbound. Loose curls, tight curls, beachy waves. The Unbound Cordless Auto Curler makes it easy to get the looks you love. Love your look. Live unbound. Available at Conair.com and search Unbound.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.